Welcome to the See-Through Design Podcast, where we have an open and honest conversation about design. Hosted by myself, Casper Simano.
And myself, Liam Jackson.
Welcome to the See-Through Design Podcast.
Welcome.
So today we conclude our Seven Deadly Sins series with...
Seven Deadly Sins of Design. Wrath.
Yeah.
Wrath. That's
you didn't sound very angry then.
Wrath. Yeah, kind of. God, Jesus! If anybody could see your eyes at that moment, because I can see them, you just freaked the hell out of me. They opened up really wide. It was like, Liam, don't ever do that again.
It's been like that before, but yeah.
No, yeah, it's a new one.
Unleashed a demon.
Yeah, definitely. Wrath, I mean, it even sounds angry, doesn't it, that word?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great word.
Sounds proper northern as well. Wrath.
Yeah.
Like laugh, bath, wrath.
And I can't think of anything else that can rhyme with that.
Path.
Good shout. Good path. You've done bath.
Yeah.
I'm going to give up. I wouldn't be good at this game if it was a competition, would I?
You're not a rapper, are you?
Not really. No, that's your scene.
I wouldn't say I'm a rapper, but yeah.
So, well, wrath, anger, feelings of hate, blood boiling. What else could you say about wrath? Wanting to gouge someone's eyes, that's a bit extreme, isn't it?
I shouldn't say. Yeah.
It's a bit extreme.
But, you know, I think it's more an expression, isn't it? Like it's a saying you say, like, oh, I could pull their eyes out.
How many times can you, be in an office situation and feel like you want to chuck your boiling hot coffee over somebody that's doing your head in? It's pissing you off. I mean, I've just played it safe there, saying chucking boiling hot coffee is a lot worse than I'm pretty sure you can invent in your mind to kind of do to somebody that's pissing you off in the workspace. There's plenty more imaginative things than chucking hot coffee over them. But essentially, being really quite angry as a seven deadly sin, I mean, it kind of seems quite obvious, really, isn't it? It's kind of the catalyst and the fuel for, well, if we're talking about sins, well, lots of criminal activity based on the fuel of anger. I can't imagine most things that happen that are bad that don't have an element of anger to them. So in that sense, yeah, it's quite a legitimate cause of concern.
Yeah. I was thinking about it, like, there's probably three categories that we could probably touch on. Mm-hmm. One being you get angry with clients.
Yeah.
So if you're self-employed or, you know, you're dealing with clients yourself, then it's quite easy to get angry with clients sometimes, maybe. And then other category was colleagues. So if you are working in a design agency in-house somewhere and you've got colleagues, they might not even be designers. They might be, you know, from other departments, but you get angry with them. And then third one would be yourself. So you beat yourself up, you get angry with yourself because, I don't know, you feel like you're not performing as best as you could, or you do something stupid. So that's kind of, for me, that was kind of, I was thinking about it, like, how do you translate it all to our industry? And I think those three sections are quite a good way of maybe discussing it, and then we'll see where it goes.
Absolutely. So the first one then was general anger, you say?
No, I was saying with clients.
Oh, sorry. I wrote down anger. That was the topic of the whole conversation.
That's a good start.
That's a good start. I'll leave it up to you. I'll leave that up to you. Will you want to leave that in for comedy value, or you want to edit that out? Liam, it's your call.
It's definitely staying in. And then you'll get really angry about it and be like,
yeah, exactly. So then people think we planned it. So angry with clients. Yeah, I mean, there's, for me, justified anger, isn't there, in some situations?
Yeah.
Maybe allowing... Okay, so I think it's hard without thinking of a scenario, isn't it?
Really? Yeah, I was going to say...
You can't really say, for example, if a client's giving you lots of amends and it's doing your head in and it's making you angry, or, you know...
What's the reason for being angry? Yeah.
What's the reason for being angry? I think there's an element of trying to have a bit of compassion there. And I don't think you can kind of allow compassion to kind of enter the room if anger's in play.
Yeah. It's like about self-awareness. And I think also the ego comes into play as well, where it's like you shouldn't get angry, but your ego says, I mean, not you specifically, but any person, that your ego goes, this is fucking stupid. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Making me do this, making me design something in Word, which, you know, we've had that conversation before.
Yeah.
But it's what the client needs. And I think, it's about self-awareness, catching yourself. And then, you know, trying to look at it logically, or like, you know, we're doing this, you know, we're doing it because we love it, but we need to make some money as well. So if the client wants a Word document, that's what they want. Give it to them.
I think as well, to be a slightly controversial, I think designers have got really picky, haven't they? You know, you often hear about designers saying, I mean, to the extreme, obviously, you know, nightmare client, it deserves being sacked off. And, you know, anger has its role in sacking a client. We haven't done a podcast on sacking a client. Maybe it's one for the future. But I do find that designers say things like, oh, is this person the right fit for me? And they have this ideal, this kind of like this golden client that they're looking for. And they won't work with anybody unless it fits this criteria of this golden client. And I just think you're chasing a false idol, really, to be fair, because each client that I have works in a very different way. And I wouldn't say there's a right and a wrong. It's just how they like to do things.
Yeah.
And I think we have to kind of almost kind of evolve with them. And their work, we'll know how to handle their work, and they like a designer that maybe works in a certain way. But if they don't, but there's a lot of designers that they don't fit this little tick list of, you know, they're getting a little bit, you know, they're giving me like four rounds of amends here, you know. I've got clients that do that, and it's because there's maybe, I don't know, maybe they are a client that's an agency and they have, they're a bit of a, you know, middleman in the situation.
Yeah.
And I understandably kind of go, okay, that's understandable. You know, we're dealing with multiple people and multiple companies. I'm not going to throw my toys out the pram. So I think there's a lot of influencers. There's a lot of people out there giving designers advice about, only work with people that kind of 100% fit with you. And I just don't know if that person always exists. You know, I think there is sometimes a black and white, is an easy, you know, you can kind of tell whether somebody's going to fit, but I think maybe to kind of dismiss them because you have a feeling that there's, you know, oh, it might be this or it might be that. Does that make sense? Am I just rabbiting on and not making sense?
No, it makes complete sense, because like you say, this ideal client thing is, it's in the sky, you know, it's not reality. Like you were touching on sacking a client. I have done that before. Like you say, in extreme cases, it's okay to be angry. It's okay to not put up with bullshit. But sometimes, like you say, if a client has got you know, you've put three rounds of amends in a contract and you do four rounds of amends, but the last amend only takes you 10 minutes. You know, what's, are you actually going to get angry about that? Or are you going to do it? And then the investment in spending, even if it's longer than 10 minutes, the investment is hopefully that client will keep using you.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it's about just awareness and telling the client as well, you know, well, you know, I've only put three rounds of amends in the contract. I'll do this fourth one now, but, you know, we just need to be careful in the future about what's...
how many rounds of amends?
How many are going to come?
And if they come back at you and they start to get quite aggressive or they become quite hostile because of that, then, you know, it kind of comes back to misunderstanding, education. Alex Curtis from the Lead Engine, you know, good friend of ours, has his own podcast. He always said to me, he got some advice from another mentor, Mike Green, a millionaire. He was actually on Channel 4's Secret Millionaire. And he said that conflict leads to clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And it does make sense that if you're not happy about something and you kind of start to create some sort of conflict, it will start to lead to some clarity. And then from there, you have a decision whether you kind of, with that clarity, work with that person, try and patch it, come to some sort of agreement. It probably is a bit of a release, a kind of, you know, a lot of stuff off your chest when you engage in some form of conflict.
Yeah.
But I think that being angry because not every client fits the ideal of what you want from a client is borderlining arrogance.
Yeah, and when ego. You say it like that as well, it makes you think that's not the client's problem, that's your problem.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's all about self-awareness, I think.
Yeah.
Like, catch yourself, you know, something, it's okay, it's a human emotion. Like, it's okay to let something make you angry on initial kind of reaction. I mean, you don't react to the client, but, you know, maybe me and you on Skype will go, oh, bloody hell, Kaz, like,
yeah,
this has happened, or, you know, and it's good to get it off your chest in that way. I think even sometimes writing things down, but definitely kind of taking time to reflect on the situation and just trying to not reply to an email in the instance.
Absolutely.
Like, give yourself time to actually think the situation through. What's the best way to resolve it? Is it just your ego, like we say, is it your ego that's getting in the way and that's what's actually making you angry deep down? Or is there a real issue? But then, you know, how do you resolve that issue? Or if there's no way to resolve it, I think you still need to be professional in the way that you interact with people. Mm-hmm. So like I say, I'd have sacked a client before. We did actually mention it in one episode.
Quite early on in our podcasting journey.
And that was not easy.
No.
Yeah. That was not an easy thing to do. But yeah, I just got to the end of my tether and it was like, right, there's no, you know, there's no way this relationship is going to continue. So I did it and it felt great afterwards, to be honest. It felt like a huge weight. But I think it also took quite a lot to get to that stage as well. I think I'm naturally quite a patient person, so yeah.
I think as well, patience is a good thing because, you know, you didn't go, oh, you know, I'm gonna sack this client, because you gave them the benefit of the doubt. You maybe had some form of compassion, empathy to some of the decisions, the way they were talking to you or whatever. And you gave them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe gave them a bit of a three strikes and you're out sort of thing. And I think that's fine. What you probably do, I mean, my advice, I don't actually know how you went about sacking the client, but I'm guessing if you are thinking of sacking a client, the principles apply. Don't write the email or give the phone call, or give them the phone call in the moment of wrath, in the moment of anger. Allow yourself time to kind of calm and recompose, because there's sacking a client and then there's hostility and reputation that could come into play where they're on the line, I think. A lot of my work is word of mouth. A lot of my work is quite a close-knit community of people that we're in. And I like to think that if I do get any form of conflict, I would take five to kind of, you know, not react in a way that would damage my reputation or have a negative effect, because people do talk and networking and, you know, it's very incestuous, the industry, we know this. I think key advice in kind of dealing with anger when it comes to clients is, number one, awareness. What are you actually angry about? Is the problem the client doesn't quite understand? And that's okay. They're not designers. They're, you know, having some compassion about the fact that they might not get, you know, not understand how this process works or whatever is good. Allowing yourself that time to, you know, kind of calm down. I think I would be a nightmare client for somebody that's in kind of building or kitchen fit, you know, because I would be that guy that's going around asking them loads of questions or watching them as they work. And, you know, I know that would probably do their head in.
Yeah, definitely.
So as well, like kind of acknowledge that and think, come on, you know, I'm a little bit guilty of it when it comes to people in other trades.
Yeah. How would you want to be treated?
How would you want to be treated? Absolutely. I think anger when it comes to clients, if clients becoming aggressive, using foul language, this, that, and the other, I think you can
either... That's straight up. I think in that case, for me, it's you can be rude back.
Yeah, absolutely. Be rude back. Be tactile, or be just, you know, brute force rude, if you like. If they're being, you know, dare I say, sexist, racist, if they're being offensive in certain ways, definitely that's put the phone down on them and never speak to them again or feel free.
Luckily, never come to that.
No, I've not experienced any kind of that level of argument. And I'm not sure how I would handle it. I don't really like confrontation. Maybe that's why I have a kind of a much more level, good English here, a higher level of tolerance, you know, for some of the things that do kind of get thrown my way. And maybe that's a good thing. Being quite tolerant, maybe there's a good thing in that. I think anger with clients is definitely something that should be reflected on at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And also as well as the effect of that anger. So, you know, is having a, you know, when we say have a bad day, you know, okay, you've got angry with a client, they've done your head in, they've said something, they've done something, they've sent you an email and they've given you, you know, 2 hours worth of amends on something, or they've not quite got the design.
Yeah.
Like, do you then allow that to infiltrate the day? It's like the saying, you know, is it a bad day that I've had, or is it 5 minutes of the day that I were bad and I've just chosen not to stop thinking about it? And is that what's created the bad day? Is me dwelling on that one thing happened?
That is, I think that's the difficult thing though, isn't it? Because it's very easy to say, okay, I won't reply now until I've calmed down. But to have, you're still thinking about, you know, even though you're not interacting with the client, you're still processing things in your head, which might say you need to work on something else. It might put you off.
Yeah.
You lose focus. And I think that's a natural thing. I think you can't really beat yourself up if that does happen, because it is a very natural thing to do. And it might not be until you've maybe sent the email that you've then start to feel, okay, you know, it's starting to be resolved. Then hopefully things are going to go back to normal, or, and then you can focus again.
Yeah, I think definitely it's completely natural. I think I would be, I'm definitely the person that would be having 5 minutes of something that's bothered me and be dwelling on it for a whole week, let alone the one day. Really natural thing to do. I think in terms of awareness and something to work on, it would be good if I could move on a little bit quicker, maybe get to a state of calm a little bit quicker. And if there's ways and methods of kind of getting there, it's definitely worth investing or practicing.
Can you think of any ways?
I think general kind of mindfulness, I think, would help in some aspects. Again, I'm not practicing what I preach, and I'm definitely not saying that I'm, you know, Mr. Calm and able to just kind of like move on when there's a bad situation. But I think techniques that have helped me with other areas of anxiety would be things like mindfulness and relaxation and breathing and noticing your breathing and maybe putting on some music that's going to allow you to have some form of focus. Mm-hmm. Doing something completely different to what you're doing, or taking a break, making a drink. Maybe just, you know, kind of like what we do, Liam, get on a Skype call and just, you know, let it all out and whinge for, you know, five minutes just to get it off your chest.
Definitely helps.
Conversation definitely helps. So that would be
writing
it down. Yeah, that's another one. I think that would definitely help. Kind of those sorts of techniques. I think things that might not help, that actually kind of, you know, make it worse, maybe things like comfort eating or drinking a lot of coffee, things that we touched on in the Natasha podcast. You might go and think, oh, I've had a really crap phone call, crap meeting, I'm just going to go and grab, you know, 3 bars of chocolate or whatever, or in my case, mini eggs. It was the mini eggs, wasn't it, that we were talking about? That's definitely not helpful, counterproductive. Those sorts of things, really.
It's being, just being self-aware of what's causing. I mean, obviously the issue is you know, you might have had a bad meeting or something, the client's not happy with something, that's caused you to be angry. But yeah, then it's just being self-aware and saying, okay, what can I do to kind of put the fire out a bit?
Yeah. It's all a bit of a juggling act. It's a bit of a game as well sometimes, isn't it? Because you're kind of planning, it's like a chess game. You're sort of wondering what the next move's going to be and
what
your next move's going to be. And you're kind of trying to think two moves ahead all the time or whatever. Yeah. And ultimately the compromises, the pros, the cons, what's at stake?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I'm going to be losing some sort of cash, but am I going to be damaging your reputation? Am I going to...
Exactly.
There's a lot of things that... But anger will cloud your judgment. You know, being in the moment of anger will cloud your judgment. So
can't
stress that enough to kind of, find a technique that helps you stay a bit more calmer and a little bit more relaxed. I think there's a world of things that you could try out there that can possibly help, and there's not one thing that can help me that's going to help you. It's going to be different for everyone.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think you're saying, like you said, thinking two steps ahead if you can. you know, is it okay, what's the best way around this? Am I gonna just do those amends without sending an email, do the amends and send them an email, say here you go, or am I gonna write an email and say why those amends aren't justified, or for whatever the reason is, the amends could be, or your reasoning could be that you don't agree with the amends, or like we said before, they're over the amends that you agreed on in a contract. So yeah, if you can kind of try and be, I don't even know if the word clever is right, but like you said, yeah, thinking steps ahead to be like, okay, should I just send an email and kind of clarify everything and see what their response is, or should I actually just do what they've asked for? Yeah. And you know, there's just different options where you do need to figure out what the next best move is. Like you say, it's like a game of chess. Like,
absolutely. It's always tricky, isn't it? I think as a designer, we can put our point across, and you know, we know that design is subjective, and we can tell clients the reasons why. And I think we have an obligation to do that as professionals, to give advice whilst, you know, we're presenting work. But to have a hissy fit and throw your toys out the pram and sack a client just because they want it one way, and you're a designer and you're a bit prima donna, and you go, actually, no, I'm, you know, they're not doing this and that. I mean, if we put it in the context of other trades, it's like, I think, you know, saying to somebody that's fitting your kitchen, I want the electric cooker on next to the plumbing for the, you know, the dishwasher, and he might go, look, that might not be a great idea. We know the kind of, I don't know if you were, you know, went to primary school or anything, Kaz, but electricity and water doesn't quite mix. I mean, I can go into it for you in a bit more detail, but you know, it's a fire hazard. And you'd be like, nah, do you know what? Just go. I mean, then the guy's going to have to, because tell you to, like, no, that's not a good idea. It's not going to happen. It's a safety. There's a, you know, detrimental. There's quite a big impact. Fine. But if it's a question of like, you know, I want the tap to be facing the other way. I want the hot tap on the other side. And, you know, maybe he's got a preference. Like, well, just do it, you know. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
I think you can voice your opinion. But ultimately, it's not their kitchen that they're fitting. It's my kitchen.
Yeah.
And I have heard designers kind of say, like, as soon as they start getting all questiony and telling me, you know, how I should, that's it, I'm sacking and they're done. I've heard designers get to that level, like, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. They've got, I'm thinking, how do you have an income stream?
It's like, yeah, you can, the way I look at it is you can give so much advice, and then you've given the advice. If they don't want to hear it or agree with it, then that's up to them. They're the ones paying for it. So, and you may have already invested a lot of time and into it as well. So what's the point of letting things go when you could just finish the job and get paid?
Absolutely. And sometimes as well, like, they just go a bit full circle. They just need to see something that they've got in their head, and actually they're kind of on the same page. Once they've seen it, they might come back to that. So this is what I'm saying. No client kind of fits the shapes that we want them to be every time. They're all a little bit kind of, you know, great in one area, not so great in another. And another one, you know, they're people at the end of the day, and people aren't straightforward. People are varied. So...
Yeah. When you put it like that, though, I actually like that aspect of it, because, you know, we get to experience all these different people and see how people work. And you can learn from it as well, whether it's the way you interact with other people. That's how, for me, that's how kind of customer service works. Like, I think the patience thing I have, like, I worked in retail for years, and you have to build up a thick skin, because people are, you realize the general public are thick.
Yeah.
So you have to deal with a lot of bull crap. and you learn to how to deal with it.
Absolutely.
In a professional manner.
Yeah. You know what kind of language you should be using for a certain client. You know whether it's starting the conversation in an email, "Hey bud, hey man, how you doing?" or "Hello, Jonathan."
Yeah.
You know what kind of tone to use when you're talking to them on the phone or on a voice, on a voicemail, on a Zoom or a Skype, but you'll become a master of people, really, I guess, once you've had the experiences of dealing with a variety of different people.
Yeah.
And another thing, you know, to kind of quote Alex Curtis again from The Lead Engine, is people buy from people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to be a little bit more savvy to the variety of minds that are out there and different personalities. And actually, somebody might come across quite aggressive, but when you get to know them, that's just the way they are. They might seem a certain way. Or they might have naturally, sometimes we do pass judgment on maybe the first or second meeting of somebody, but actually when you get to know them, it's kind of not the worst case scenario. And it's always nerve wracking meeting new people and new clients. And I think it's natural to think that maybe it's going to be either a nightmare project. Sometimes I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe I'm going to design something that I don't know. A lot of the time, the conversation is a problem with myself, not them.
Yeah.
They've come to me like a regular client would and said, this is what I'm looking for. But then you might go off and have a whole host of anxiety around that and think, oh, this client, is it going to be okay? You know, they're based here, or you'll look for, and you just basically become a little archaeologist looking for different different reasons that are going to make the project go shit, or that client's going to be a nightmare because of, and you'll start to invent these scenarios in your head, and you can feel yourself getting angry about these scenarios that may or may not happen. So you create this movie in your mind, and what is this? It's just because it's a new client. It's an anxiety based around dealing with somebody that you don't know. It's the fear of the unknown. And if those things do happen, you deal with them in a certain way, with a certain level of calm and, you know, empathy and compassion and all that sort of stuff. So anger will cloud your judgment. And I think, making decisions while being angry is something to be aware of.
We spoke about that in the red flag episode, that, you know, just because there's one red flag doesn't mean you shouldn't work with them.
Yeah.
It's just a process of figuring people out. And I guess before you start working with them, whether it's a good fit. And like you said, sometimes some of those anxieties are made up in your own mind. And then I think once you've actually got a relationship with a client, there should be some give and take.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be times when they say, can you do this advert by the end of the day? And you go, oh, bloody, you know, whatever. I won't swear too much, but yeah. And you get it done, you know, and I think a lot of the time, because of the time restrictions, it's sometimes they just have to be like, yeah, that's good enough for the time we've got. Mm-hmm. And you get paid. And then other times, you know, they might give you a really long deadline, or they might pay you a lot quicker than they normally would because you help them out, you know, or even clients give gifts and stuff, you know. So I think there is this kind of give and take.
Yeah, absolutely. And
sorry,
I didn't mean to cut you off, but do you think pressure sometimes and anger actually help a situation? Can it help? I think when you're dealing with, say, for example, you know, you get given a task that isn't quite, it's not quite in the, in your perfect scenario world. And it's like, yeah. Oh shit, I've got to do this because, and you kind of go a little bit angry, but you've been dealt a bit of a pressure. And actually I, you know, we said before that I personally think I work a little bit better under pressure. And I think you may have said the same. So do you find that in some cases the anger is the start? If you are somebody that likes to work a little bit, who feels that they work better under pressure, do you find that anger is the start of the problem solving process in some situations?
If I was working on a death metal album cover, then yeah, anger would definitely help. you definitely get the right aesthetic. But yeah, I think anger can help creativity. I guess, like I've just said, yeah, if it needs to be an angry piece, then it's obvious why it's going to help. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, you could just be like, right, I just need to get this done. And it's a bit of a, it could be a kick up the arse. You know, if it is, I've got to get this done by the end of the day, oh, fuck's sake. Yeah. Like, why didn't you brief me fucking last week? And then, but it's like, no, but I just need to do it. So I don't know if that's really answered your question, but
I think it has, because I was just sitting here thinking about anger and also, you know, without sounding too morbid, you know, things like grief that people, you know, suffer with when you have the loss of somebody that you care about. But you go through a bit of a process, don't you? You go through shock,
mm-hmm.
then you might go into anger, and then you go into healing. And I think from a design perspective, although less very severe to grief, there's a similar kind of process, isn't there? There's the shock, maybe getting that email, getting those amends, dealing with an awkward client on the call. Then there's the anger that, oh, fuck's sake, what the fuck, da da da, blah, blah, blah. I'll do all the swearing for you, Liam, it's fine. And then there's the healing, the doing, the problem solving. And actually, if you try and, I guess, stall one of these things from happening,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't allow you to get over the situation. So it's almost like accepting that those things will happen. I remember when I got made redundant, for example, mm-hmm. I went through the process of shock, anger, and healing. What am I going to do next? You know, problem solving, go home and work to my branding portfolio, blah, 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 this and the other, CVs. But in the anger stage, the C-bomb was used quite a lot. You know, and the shock stage was, shit, what am I going to do? The house, you know, the kids, whatever. So yeah. I think it's allowing yourself to accept that that process is going to happen and maybe those three things are going to pop up. So, yeah. Definitely, I think that's quite key. Actually, those that shock, anger, and healing. I kind of feel like that's quite an important thing to be aware of.
Mm.
Absolutely,
definitely.
So next on the list, looking at it. Colleagues. Yeah. Anger with colleagues.
Yeah.
So normal and so natural, isn't it, to be angry with your colleagues? And
yeah.
Especially if you work in small, close, tight-knit sort of agencies or companies. Where to begin on this one? I think there's a whole world of anger out there.
Yeah.
I suppose kind of, again, awareness is key, but it could stem from, if you're in a design team, is there an element of jealousy is there any malicious, you know, is there something malicious that's happening? Is it something that's been said within the office that you don't really like? It doesn't really adhere to your values. It might be the way somebody's doing something, is somebody cutting corners of their work? It could be kind of work related. It could be personal. It could be as simple as somebody doesn't turn the light off in the toilet after they've been, you know, it could be like that, couldn't it? You know, someone's leaves their cups out.
Yeah.
And I think what you have here, though, in a colleague environment is a buildup of anger.
Yeah.
Not necessarily one thing that you can kind of pin down. I mean, yeah, of course, there are plenty of situations where one thing might be something that you can pin down. But general annoyances, just the little ones, and I think sometimes they're worse, aren't they? When you have a buildup of little tiny things that somebody might be doing to just piss you off.
Yeah. Or even you get those people that just say, I don't like that person. And you're like, why? And they're like, I don't know. Just don't like him.
Yeah.
Just like, I think I've definitely seen in workplaces, like politics in play, people want a promotion. They'll do whatever they can to get there. I think it's culture is a big thing within teams, within companies. And I've worked in companies with, put it bluntly, shit culture.
Mm-hmm.
And the morale of colleagues is down. And it could be because someone at the top level, you know, is not doing the right thing. People don't agree with their decisions. And it kind of trickles its way down. And I think in good cultures, even if those people at the top level are, you know, making bad decisions, maybe, or what maybe colleagues think are bad decisions, I think it's like then senior management and people like that, it's their job to kind of protect people. Mm-hmm. So I think, I mean, it should hopefully start at the top, you know, that the good culture should come from the CEO.
Yeah.
Or creative director, whoever, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, bigger companies, but if it's creative director, whoever it is, and good culture equals good morale equals good work. People want to go to work. People want to do good work. And I'd like to think that because of the experiences I've had, if one day I was to be lucky enough to have my own studio or agency, that I would definitely put culture as like high on the list, that I would want to make somewhere, you know, that people want to work and enjoy working there. There's nothing worse than being in a job where you don't feel valued or you just hate. Nothing worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you are in that position, I would say just get out, because it's not worth sticking around. Things don't normally change. I'm going on a rant here now.
No.
But you know, I've seen and experienced things that make you realize, you know, good and bad, that make you realize that how much it can affect you. It can affect other people as well. It's not always about you, is it? I think it's in that sense as well. It's about working as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've said it before. It's like, what's that football? What's the football term? You've said it before. It's like, not one player wins the...
it's not a one-man team, is it? You know, it's...
Exactly.
It is a team, and everyone has a job to do, and, you know, they're all should be on the same path for the same kind of goals. I think if COVID's taught me anything, it's about being, if I am in a situation that's making me unhappy, yeah, definitely get out. And culture is a huge part. So if you're angry at work because it's a shit culture, then yeah, I think being aware of that is definitely, you know, do yourself a favor and be kind to yourself and say that I don't deserve to put up with this.
Yeah. Thing is as well, it doesn't mean that someone else wouldn't actually fit in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe your just personality type is not just right to be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think when you do go for an interview, as much as them interviewing you, it's about, I mean, a lot of the times, once you get to an interview stage, they've seen your work. They know if you're a good designer or not. They're actually interviewing to see if you would fit in with the team.
Yeah.
And it should be the same with you as a person being absolutely interviewed. You should be scoping them out as well and thinking, am I a good fit? And it, I mean, obviously from what I've just said, it doesn't always work out because people are always going to be on best behavior
mm-hmm.
at interview stages.
Yeah.
Generally anyway.
You know, I once had a really crap work experience situation where somebody said to me that I was going to not equate to anything in the industry. And I had some situation, you know, and
I laugh now, sorry, but
you know,
yeah.
And this was, you know, in a company that is there to kind of help the next generation. And, you know, you think that, you know, I took the time to take my portfolio and there was a negative approach on it. I won't mention any names, but I still to this day have anger towards the person. But I hold my head up high because I've achieved so much. But I do remember going back to, you know, college and thinking, I've got to get out now. I've got to quit. I'm going to quit because, you know, this is not worth it. And I do remember my sort of lecturer saying to me, yeah, you know, notoriously this person had a bit of a bad attitude that was kind of known of. So kind of pushed me to stick with it, which is fine. And I did. And yeah.
Now we're here.
And now we're here. So definitely glad that I did do that. But it is kind of experiences. There's people do exist in you that will come up and try and
mm-hmm.
take you down. And they might come from the colleagues. They might come from your teammates. Some people are just not nice people. You know, there's a lot of narcissists that people work with in particularly in the design industry, in the studios, a lot of politics, a lot of kind of almost tribal hierarchy kind of stuff that happens. I think the intent as well is kind of trying to be aware of what intent is there to maybe piss you off, to get you angry. Because there has been situations in my career where I've been angry with my colleagues, and yet they're people I hold really dear to this day. And all I can put that down to is they're like family. They are like my best friends. And you get angry with family. You have arguments. And it just shows, and there's a good side to that, kind of that passion and that kind of fire to stand up for what you believe in. And there may be some sort of confrontation. I mean, look, we've had arguments, Liam, haven't we? We've had run-ins before. And it's just like, but our, you know, we have a really good, strong relationship and a strong bond as designers, as friends, that we're able to kind of go through that and then just be, yeah, it is what it is. Move on to the next thing. Job done. And it's because we know that the intent to upset, the intent to cause harm, the intent isn't there.
Yeah.
Normally arguments about, say, work are or you know, creative differences or just differences in general are just passion related, aren't they? They're just kind of just maybe a slight, what's the word, refraction, is it not refraction, but like, you know, two magnets that it's not opposite ends at the same end. They're just trying to, you can't get them to kind of meet in the middle. So I think it's important, you know, if you have an argument with somebody that you've, you know, spent 2 years absolutely best of friends, you have an argument at work with them as a colleague, don't just throw 2 years of, you know, a great relationship, working relationship away and be bitter about it and be kind of, you know, let that kind of damage what could be actually utilize that argument or that anger moment as a thing that's going to make that relationship stronger. It actually makes it stronger and allow it to make that relationship stronger. Because in a small team, if you are a designer or a design team and there's two of you or three of you or whatever, that the stronger you can be as a team, the better it will be.
Definitely. So that goes back to that. Was it Mark or Mike Green?
Mike Green.
Conflict. Yeah. What was the saying?
Conflict leads to clarity.
Yeah. So if you do have a bit of a scuffle, not a scuffle, but there's, you know, a debate, heated debate, gets a bit angry, that conflict could bring clarity to maybe you've been collabing on a project and then you have a bit of a, no, we should do this, no, do that. And then it actually creates the clarity because you can see both sides.
I used to feel quite left out sometimes. You know, some projects were worked on by two designers and I used to feel quite left out. And I think I put that down to just, you know, if I wasn't involved, I think it's because if something's happening in a very small office, it's natural to kind of want to be involved and it might irritate you.
Because it's more obvious that there's something going on that you're not involved in.
And then you go, oh, they don't want me. I'm not good enough, blah, blah, blah.
That kind of there's loads of other reasons.
That kind of comes onto the third thing that we were going to discuss about being angry to yourself. But
yeah,
I know that I cut you up there, Liam. So
no, that's cool. That's cool. I think, just to clarify on what I said and on what you said, was kind of like you're like a family and, you know, sometimes don't take the anger to heart or too deeply.
Yeah.
I think the way I was explaining it might have sounded like maybe I'm just a bit blunt and just like, nope, get lost, like I'm right or wrong. But I think the way I was coming at it was if there's constant anger in a role, it's like you're constantly being frustrated by the way people do things or speak to you or, you know, just how they act. But yeah, sure, you're going to have disagreements with people along the road. And like you say, it doesn't have to be an end of relationships or walking out of a door. It can lead to stronger bonds, stronger relationships that can then take you further, them further. I think it's about just being open and honest with people. Like we say, we have an open and honest conversation that, you know, like we said before, take the time to calm down. And then when the time is right, have the discussion and try and clear the air.
I think designers can be very passionate about something and they might stick to their guns, but I think naturally we're a kind of breed of people that can think and accept other avenues. So I think if you find yourself being very kind of, it's my way or the highway, sort of, I'm right, you're wrong, as you would in maybe a situation of a brief where you would might look at different things and take on board different and appreciate different views, is almost allow that in that moment of calm to happen.
Yeah.
And because if you can appreciate what the other person is saying in that argument or in that moment of anger, and maybe start to maybe there's some kind of like hybrid diplomatic way of solving it. That because if I'm fighting for, you know, if I'm standing, you know, if I'm saying it's got to be in red and you're telling me it's got to be in blue, and we argue about it for, you know, no, it's going to be in red, it's going to be in blue. And I, you know, it's stalemate, isn't it? It's a stalemate situation.
Someone's got to give
because it's either going to be one or the other. And you might lose what you were really passionate about, but maybe appreciate. And if the choice does get made where, you know, blue wins, that's funny. I said red and blue, didn't I? Because my brand's red and your brand's blue. Branding colors. So blue wins, Liam wins. And he says, it's going to be blue, Kaz. And the client agrees. Okay. Now, you've got a role in this. I've got a role in this as the advocate of red to go, all right, I'm going to start working and making blue work. You know, I'm going to be part of this team, even though it's not what I originally wanted or not what I originally felt was the right way.
It goes back to advising clients, right? So we advise them with reasoning, hopefully, mm-hmm. why we've done something. Hopefully it always ties back to the brief or the objective. So it's the same, isn't it? If another designer has made a decision and they can tell you why they've made that decision, on your initial reaction, you might think, what the hell is that? Like, what?
Hmm.
Why is it that color? Or why have they done it that way? And then when they explain it to you, you think, yeah, it makes sense. I get it. I completely get it. And I know sometimes it's like design shouldn't, you know, that designer's not going to be stood next to the piece of design going, oh, it's that way because of this. But, you know, we all know that sometimes an explanation can kind of sway you to, it can be red or, yeah, it can be blue. So that I think that's probably a good time to roll onto the, because that is about the ego as well, isn't it?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
So getting angry with yourself.
Hmm.
Can happen for lots and lots of different reasons.
Yeah, and I think anger with yourself is, and the term sort of beating yourself up is kind of the byproduct of that is really kind of unhappiness, isn't it? I think, yeah, there's an element of being unhappy because you've had an argument with somebody or whatever, but a colleague or a client, but you know, sometimes if you win that argument, there's an element of victory, isn't there?
Mm.
Whereas when you're angry with yourself, I don't think you can ever be victorious.
Yeah.
I think you will always lose and be unhappy. If that makes sense.
It definitely makes sense. And I think goes back to the going through the motions of, you know, trying to calm yourself down and having that internal conversation with yourself. Like, why am I angry about this?
Hmm.
What can I do to make myself not angry? Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example why one of us might be angry.
I think they all, anger with yourself all comes from words like should, could, what if I did. And they're all words of, they're all things that can't, would, should, could, would, you know, what if, that they're all things that can't actually be done, changed.
It's already done, yeah.
It's already done. It's either worrying about what's happened in the past or worrying about what might happen in the future. And almost the past can't be changed. And what you did in the past might have a negative effect on the future, but you don't know that because you haven't lived it. So you'll be angry at I should have done this. I should have done that. I wished I did this. And it's all part of learning, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
And I think the only way you can beat being angry with yourself is with self-compassion, catching that dialogue in your head. And I know I'm an advocate for this, and I probably say it quite a lot in our episodes, that I think self-compassion is hugely important with dealing with a whole host of things like imposter syndrome and general anxiety and all sorts. But in a situation of being angry with yourself, it's incredibly vital to, you know, exercise some self-compassion. And I think, you know, let's put a scenario out there, like you made a mistake, you didn't see it, the client spotted it. Oh, I should have maybe checked that and maybe not done that at the end of the day. And maybe, like, accept that you all make mistakes, accept that the client wasn't maybe happy about it.
Yeah.
Say to yourself, well, look, I know now it's been an important lesson. I'm going to take that lesson and I'm going to do it. But what really matters now is how I deal with that mistake and the way that I rectify it. And that will show the client something more than, you know, somebody that can actually rectify an issue. And sometimes the way you handle an issue that might come up with a client shows more about you as a designer and as somebody that they'd like to work with. So I think shoulds, coulds, woulds, what ifs, they're all the words that you might say when you're dialoguing in your own head, the little voice in your own head. And they're the things that maybe you'd be angry about when it comes to internal anger.
I think you're right. It's about taking the responsibility of, you know, okay, maybe it's me that's fucked up. I'm angry with myself because of that. And it's my responsibility to handle it and deal with it. So I'm going to, you know, you just got to deal with it.
And I think as well, like allowing yourself to go, you could be like, oh, I don't know, I shouldn't have, I'm really undercharged on this job. I'm really pissed off myself. I could have done, like, go, okay, well, I'm still learning in this. And yeah, just say, I'm still learning in this. We all are. Next time I'll know what to do. Like everything that we say in this podcast, it's all easier said than done, isn't it? You know, I'm the worst for saying, you know, what I should have done today. I shouldn't have been sat on this squeaky chair.
Do you know what I was just going to say? I'm getting quite angry with myself, Kaz. I was just going to say this, and then you're going to say, why is that, Liam? And then I'll say, because I didn't tell you to get on your other chair.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here and I'm like,
and
I know and how now, much it infuriates you. You know, there's little
and
tiny
now I'm
things.
Thinking, no, now I'm thinking, when Kaz is talking and there's a squeaky chair, I'm probably not going to be able to edit it out. Maybe I can with the frequencies, I don't know. But if you can hear a squeaky chair previous to this.
And I know how irritating the squeaky chair is to you as well. We've been here before, Liam. Maybe I did it on purpose. I totally didn't.
Maybe you're just trying to get me angry.
To make a point.
But it's only in the last minute or two since it started creaking a lot.
Well, my leg.
I saw your face and you were like, oh, it's creaking.
Yeah, I was more concerned about getting told off by you, if I'm honest.
And I was like, no, because then I'm getting angry with myself, like I said, I should have told you, Kaz, get on your other chair.
And I'm going, shit, I should have got my other chair.
So there you go.
Absolutely. A real life situation. And all it is a noisy chair.
Yeah.
So you get that with our podcast, reality.
But going back to the angry with yourself, I think it's natural to sometimes reflect on decisions you've made or things you've done. Like you said, maybe it's a mistake that's been sent to print and then the clients got angry and then, you know, they've had a go at you and then you've got angry with yourself because you're like, why didn't I spot that? But we're only human.
Yeah, absolutely. We all have things that might happen during the day just beyond design. We know that it's our creativity is influenced by so many factors. It may be that on the day that you sent that to print, you had an argument with your spouse or something happened, some kind of emergency and kind of made you rush it or whatever. But yeah, we're all human, like you say, Liam. You know, we all make mistakes. But you could sit there for hours and think about what you should or could have done, and it won't change anything.
Things you say, I'm the worst designer ever. Those things you might say to yourself, yeah. I'm crap, I'm not worthy. Why do I do this? Like, I need to give up. But like you said, I think it's the way you deal with it, and then it's the way how you kind of try and forgive yourself and try not to let it happen again, because that's when you should be getting very angry, is if things keep happening and you're not aware of those mistakes and you keep making them, then that's I mean, you should be angry with yourself. And I think, you know, like they say with grief, like time is a healer. I think sometimes when you do have situations where you're angry with yourself, like it could be a decision you made. Maybe it was the color, maybe it was the typeface or something. And then later on, you're like, why did I choose that? Or why did I do that? And then it will take a period of time. And sometimes you'll come out the other side and say, well, why do I care? Like, what's that? The client's happy. It's just my designer ego is probably thinking, what are other designers thinking about this design?
Or what they're thinking about me.
Yeah, probably more so. Yeah. Like, but the client's happy, you know, they've got a design they like. I think as designers, we do judge ourselves too much against other designers. And probably other designers do. Yeah. We think that they're judging us as well. So yeah,
I'm guilty, really guilty of that.
Of what? Being a judge or being, you think people judge you.
Yeah. People judge me. People are looking at my work, and I think
no one's looking at your work, Kaz.
Well, they're being forced to, but I think even in that situation of being angry with yourself, I mean, I can't stress this enough, like get yourself that design buddy, somebody you can call on, somebody you can talk to kind of help you kind of think of it in a different way. I really think we need that in our game. I think if you're a person that works in isolation or a freelancer or just you run an agency, but you work on your own sort of remotely, or even if you work remotely and you work at an agency, but you're on your own, I really think get that kind of almost like that kind of AA meeting kind of buddy.
Yeah.
Somebody to kind of help you out when you're in those moments. I think it's definitely something that can, because I think beating yourself up and being angry at yourself, it's literally like hitting the self-destruct button, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that will affect you, your confidence, your mood, your self-esteem. And it's always hard to bring yourself back from that. But other people, friends, family, somebody you trust, might help bring you back into, I guess, the real world, because, you know, should, could, what ifs, that's all fantasy, isn't it? It's not real.
Yeah, there's definitely times when you've put me back on the correct path.
And likewise, so
I think it definitely helps. You can get a buddy.
Definitely.
Do it. I think, like, for me, anger, there's repercussions with anger. So whether it's you lashing out, whether it's beating yourself up, there's always going to be repercussions. Mm. And I think once you've lashed out, it's too late.
Yeah.
You can't kind of take that back. So calm yourself down. And I also think anger towards other people, I mean, this might even just be as like a general thing rather than just specifically as design, but, or working with clients or colleagues, but actually being angry can quite often, it harms you more than the other person.
Yeah.
Because you're the one that's kind of harboring that anger. And then, like I say, if you unleash that anger, then the repercussions might be pretty bad if you haven't, like we said, taken time to digest it and kind of think about it logically. So just, I think for me, in any scenario, whether it's clients, colleagues, yourself, just be very careful with anger.
I think that's brought me on to sadness. Sadness that this is the last in the series of Seven Deadly Sins, because I think it's been brilliant and I've really enjoyed talking about them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So yeah, it's been... I've really enjoyed the series as well. Like, you kind of came up with the idea, and I think it's been really good because it's mean we've explored a lot of avenues that will hopefully help people.
Yeah.
And I think there's been good crossover as well, which is quite good to see how things connect.
Mm-hmm.
Like how your jealousy can affect your pride, and
absolutely
how anger can maybe affect relationships, and which, you know, I think they all kind of add up. So hopefully, yeah, people will have enjoyed it and have learned something. I know I've definitely learned, like, you know, the whole process, just thinking about these different stuff has definitely helped me.
I think it's helped me as well from a therapy point of view. And I, you know, being quite sort of like honest about it, if you listen to the show and you've kind of found this because of maybe our interviews with other designers, or, and you've listened to those and you kind of wanted to maybe hear about more of what they've got to say, rather than myself and Liam, and you just stumbled across this episode and you've not listened to the rest of the episodes, I really think you should go and give them a listen.
Well, of course you'd say that.
Of course I would. But honestly, I think there's some, you know, really useful stuff that you can relate to. And I think, yeah, there's some really good highlights of the shows. Maybe we should do a little kind of highlight at the end of it all, maybe. The best bits.
Yeah. What, as like for an Instagram post or something, or what?
Yeah, or maybe just Seven Deadly Sins edit for the best bits.
Yeah.
Something like that.
All right, maybe. You can go through and pick out the top quotes, and then you can timestamp it, and then I'll
edit it all together, yeah. Give myself a little job to do. It's made me angry.
We need, I guess, we've still got a long list of stuff that we want to touch on anyway. I think there's, I don't know what's left on there. Education is definitely one we want to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we've got other guests lined up.
Yeah.
So we should definitely get those ones done. Thank you for listening And I've really enjoyed the conversation again, Kaz. So
yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Been awesome. Thanks. And yeah, look forward to recording our next episode together.
Yeah, man. Hope you've all enjoyed. Bye for now.
Bye for now.